In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Travel always brings us into contact with people that we wouldn't normally associate ourselves with. Anytime we are taken out of our current location or situation and moved to another, we can encounter some different things. On my past trip to Arizona, in the tight quarters of an airplane, this became very evident and true. I found myself next to two pious women returning from a mountaintop experience in the charismatic way. I must admit that I kind of was an easy target wearing my collar. Now, frankly, I was just not in the mood to deal with this. It had been a long trip, I was tired, and I wanted to be ignored. Now, after some short conversation, nothing of any real depth, some defensive measures were necessary to avoid additional conversation. Earphones in hand, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and when all else fails, some theology in my briefcase. Now, this defensive strategy worked for over 3 hours until we landed in Chicago. Now came the questions. So, you're a pastor? Well, yes, I replied and smiled. So, when did you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and ask Him into your heart? That was it. I had 5 minutes till the plane got to the gate, and the end was near. My patience was short. I didn't accept Him, I told him. Nor can anyone accept Him. He came to me through the waters of baptism, holy baptism as an infant. And the conversation came to a pause. Suddenly a rapid-fire set of questions came my way, and all I wanted to do was get off the plane and find the nearest watering hole. Everything from baptism to the Holy Supper to the very word of our Lord. The final statement came with a final blow. You can't be a Christian, even if you wear a collar, unless you ask Him into your heart. I had been condemned. I'm sure they continue to pray for me daily, probably even today. This type of encounter is pretty typical for pastors, as decision theology and its synergistic bent continue to find its way into the church and the understanding of her members. You know, it may be couched differently, but basically this is the logic of what people say. While Christ is the gate, I must ask for entrance. Or, it is my journey into the fold of Christ, and it is after my efforts that I will find peace and salvation. Or, Christ might call my name, but I'm the one who has to do the running. I will follow Him, I will put my hand to the plow, I will do the right thing. With this type of reasoning, who needs a shepherd? All you need is a motivator. With this type of reasoning, a motivator will do right and well. You see, a motivator is what many churches have turned Christ into and His message. A Savior, a motivator. The treadmill of salvation. Unfortunately, a treadmill goes nowhere. While that trip was interesting, my last one was the most troubling. As I settled into my seat with the usual items again, the man sitting next to me greeted me. He settled into his seat with the usual tools of the trade. Laptop computer, palm top, and a briefcase full of papers. A young man who most likely worked for one of the many computer software companies located in Seattle. This is it. The guy had no tattoos, no body piercings I could see, and he seemed like a nice chap. Well, while cruising somewhere 35,000 feet over the Rockies, he pulled out a book. Now, I don't know about you, but 35,000 feet over the Rockies, there are certain books I hope my neighbor is reading. This was not one of them. Paganism, A Journey from Life to Death. Now, I hate to tell you, this wasn't some book he was reading for a book review. To this man, it was his way of life. he believed this stuff. What a distance from the fundamentalist women of my one flight. No Christ, no confused dogmatic, no postmodern approach to scriptures, flat-out denial of Christ. Total rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. The thief was indeed there and had done his job well. Who is the thief? The one who confuses and clouds the gospel into a horrid maze of synergistic works? The one who turns Christ's work into my effort? The thief is the same who completely blocks the gospel from the hopeless and the lost, sending them to their own demise as they search for the answer in science, mysticism, and pagan worship. Of course, we know it is Satan, the power of hell that constantly wages the war against the believer. Now, the people on the plane that I encountered, it is to these people that we have been called to be pastors and ministers of the gospel. Not that the power is in our efforts, but it is in the gospel that we proclaim and the sacraments that we administer. Today's text has been used historically in many traditions as the gospel reading on special Sundays to honor pastors and teachers of the church, the under-shepherds of the true shepherd. While this isn't one of those special feast days, it is a chapel of men aspiring to the office of pastor, and also men who serve in this very special office. Scripture earnestly stresses the serious responsibility of leaders and those who follow them. The scriptures are clear in their denunciation of faithless shepherds who take their sheep and leave them to be devoured. Could we become an agent, one who takes their sheep and leaves them to be devoured? Could we become a thief who blocks the gospel from reaching the lost? Could we become the one who, instead of helping the lost, takes them down the road of destruction? Yes. We are able to become the thief, in that we, as under-shepherds, stop listening to the shepherd, refusing to listen to what he has to say, refusing to administer the means by which he has given us. It is with the magnitude of the office that we must find ourselves on our knees, confessing the confession of the church, I, a poor miserable sinner, uttered from our lips as we continue the task, our call. To a father confessor we cry our sins, needing to hear the forgiveness of the Lord. To the people of Israel, God was the true shepherd. He gathered them, protected them, and fed them with manna from heaven. Moses was a shepherd as he led Israel to the promised land. And yes, in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, he tells of the judgment of the shepherds who scatter their own flocks. Jeremiah also gives us comfort, knowing that even though a flock might be scattered, it is the good shepherd, the one shepherd, Jesus Christ, expected that will be the ultimate. Christ the Good Shepherd, as our hymn today proclaimed, the Lord's my shepherd, leading me to pastures gently green. The shepherd, the door that brings us to the Father. The shepherd, the one who takes care of us. The shepherd, the one who becomes the sheep to shed his blood, to wash us clean. The death and the resurrection of the true shepherd, that is what saves. As pastors, we are indeed blessed to be under-shepherds of the shepherd, the high priest to whom the Holy of Holies has been committed, and who alone is trusted with the secrets of God. Christ, the door to the Father, by which enter Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the prophets, the apostles, and the holy Christian church. It is Christ, the one who washes the sheep, leads the sheep, and feeds the sheep. It is through the waters of baptism, the word proclaimed, and his holy body and blood that he accomplishes his task. His death and resurrection, his washing, his proclamation, his body and blood. May we, the under-shepherds, be faithful to the call by the grace of our Heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.